have two guests today. Our first guest, Bill McCamley, wants to increase intelligent conversation in our community by removing the popular feature in the Las Cruces Sun News, Sound Off. Sylvia Ulloa is the managing editor at the Las Cruces Sun News and says Sound Off is a chance for people to air grievances, to take government to task, and this outweighs the column's shortcomings. Are you a reader to Sound Off? What do you think? Should anonymous commentators to websites and traditional media be forced to reveal themselves in order to speak their mind? Bill McCamley and Sylvia Ulloa are here to bring the conversation to you on this special edition of Voice of the Public, where we will also be taking your calls after the news. Welcome to a special edition of Voice of the Public. I'm Edmundo Resendez. We have two guests today. Our first guest, Bill McCamley, is the District 33 State Representative for the great state of New Mexico.
33.
What did I say?
32.
33, okay. Stand corrected. And Sylvia Ulloa is the managing editor at the Las Cruces Sun News and editor for Sound Off. So what do you think? Should anonymous commentators to websites and traditional media be forced to reveal themselves in order to speak their mind? And this is not just any, or is this just another form of government control? We are taking your calls at 646-2212, or you can ask your questions on social media or email your questions to colin@nmsu.edu. Mr. McCamley, let's start out with you, and because in a lot of ways, a lot of great conversations start out with an idea. And you chose to take on the issues of anonymous commentators on media, but more specifically, the Sound Off column in the Las Cruces Sun News. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, first of all, I want to take issue with something you just said about government control. No one here is trying to censor anybody. No one's writing a law. No one is trying to force anybody to do anything. What we wanted to, Councillor Smith and I wanted to do, was have a conversation. And this came up basically because there's a lot more data available now about anonymous commenting because of websites. Sound Off has been going for...
'91.
So almost 20 years now, mm-hmm. 15 years. And we haven't really seen the effects of it. And I've been reading the paper since I moved here in 92, and Sound Off was always there, and I never really thought twice about it. And after getting into politics, people say good things and bad things, and you just feel like that's one of those things that you have to deal with. The problem is, over the past year, there's been so many new studies and so much new evidence that has come out talking about the effects of anonymous commentary on our society. And I've got some of these that I'd like to tell your listeners, and so the reasoning for the concern that we've got.
Okay, we'll do that in just 1 minute. Sylvia, you were part of a conversation with Bill McCamley and Greg Smith, Councilman Greg Smith, about the issue, and a column was submitted that ran in the paper. What did you think about the column?
I really appreciate the chance to be here. I would say I think that both Councillor Smith and Representative McCamley made really good arguments, and many of the arguments are arguments that I agree with, that I don't take any issue with them. I think that, and I wrote a column myself, just sort of addressing some of those things and acknowledging some of the, I guess I would say the shortcomings of Sound Off, but also the things that I don't think were articulated in it, is that there are some benefits to it. There are some things that it brings to a conversation. We're talking about a conversation here, and really the Sound Off column is a community conversation that the Sun News is essentially allowing to happen. So it's providing a microphone for people that would not otherwise have it, a conversation that wouldn't otherwise appear.
Bill, you want to cite some samples.
I do.
Why don't you go ahead and do that? That way we get an idea of where you're coming from.
Edmundo, these aren't samples, though I do have some samples of anonymous commentary, but this is data-based. This conversation and this whole issue is the result of research. And what a lot of research is suggesting is that anonymous commentary does two things. Number one, it is overwhelmingly negative. And in fact, I have a research paper here from the University of Houston. The guy's name is, Arthur Santana. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he did a whole research report on how people view anonymous commenting. So what happens when you have to do your name and what happens when you are forced to put your name in. And what he found was, and this is a quote, he observed that non-anonymous commenters were nearly three times as likely to post civil comments. He found that 44% of non-anonymous commenters posted civil comments following news articles compared to 15% of anonymous commenters. And this is a quote. In short, when anonymity was removed, civility prevailed. Now, that's fine. And this has been something that a lot of people have talked about in the recent years with trolls and all that sort of thing. But we know that anonymous comments are much more they allow people to be negative a lot more. And in the conversation we had, even in the Sun News editorial board meeting, you even said that the vast majority of calls that you get for Sound Off are negative. Mm-hmm. Now, that's fine. That is what it is, and that's freedom of speech. And if people are angry and they're much more likely to comment when they're angry, that's fine. Here's the problem. When you combine that negative effect with the effect that it has on readers, and I'd like to talk about two studies. The first is by the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Virginia's George Mason University. They did a study where they did a news article, and they showed it with regular comments and negative comments. And what they said, basically what we saw, this is Dr. Broussard, who was the author of the study, is people that were exposed to polite comments didn't change their views really about the issue covering the story versus the people that did see the rude comments and they became polarized. They became more against the story that was covered, the topic that was covered in the story. Furthermore, there's another study that was done by The Atlantic where they did something very similar. And what they said was, respondents who saw comments, and these were anonymous comments, so they were more negative, evaluated the article as being of a lower quality, an 8% difference. In other words, authors are judged not just by what they write, but how people respond. And what we're seeing there is an effect, a fairly well-documented effect. This is, the facts of this are not debatable. Anonymous commenting spurs more negativity and, according to Dr. Santana, more racist comments, more vitriolic comments, a lot more nasty words, that sort of thing. And those comments, when connected to a story, affect people reading the story. And the problem here is twofold. The first is, if a journalist is going out and doing a story, and they say, we're going to go out and we're going to really work hard to try to get all the facts of the story and cover it from both sides and talk to people who know what they're talking about, and they write this story, is it fair to that journalist to have their story influenced by people who are writing in and, because of the anonymity of the comments, are allowed to influence the story? And that's the thing that really got to me. I've been reading Sound Off for a long time, and yes, it's mostly negative. It's probably 80% negative. It just never struck me as a problem until you see the fact that if someone writes a story, for instance, about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, and you, one of your reporters, or you get it from the national media, where the reporter has really tried to dig in, get both sides, do a good journalistic story, and yet they see Sound Offs about this over and over, and they're connected to the story, they're going to be influenced as much by the anonymous commenting as they are by the story. And that's a problem, I think.
Sylvia, you know, question is, as the editor of Sound Off, what do you see when the comments are coming in? Do you see them more negative on a day where there's more negative news, where you know something has happened that's really bringing people down?
I will answer that question, but one thing I did want to address that Mr. McCamley has been saying is there's two distinctions here. He sent me these reports, and I read them, and what I think one distinction is that these are comments that are attached to stories. Mm-hmm. That's one distinction. And number two, these are generally uncurated commentary, uncurated messaging on stories. So those are two things that are actually distinct in Sound Off, because A, Sound Off is not attached to the stories that we run, and B, somebody's editing them, and that person who's editing them is me. So it's a little bit different. I think that those studies definitely do have relevance, and I think that the idea that messaging, you know, that anonymous commenting is destructive and can affect people's perceptions of a story, those are absolutely valid points. And, you know, one of the discussions that we had was the idea that, you know, we shouldn't have anonymous commenting on our website, and we don't really have control over that, but within a month, the Sun News is going to remove anonymous commenting because we're going to be going to a different website. So that is one thing that I absolutely concede. As far as Sound Off, I mean, it's true. It's mostly probably 80-20% negative to that. But there's, I guess, one thing that I would say is that there's a way for residents and voters and folks to voice their opinion, and that's every 2 years in a ballot box. And they can say, Mr. McCamley, I don't like how you've represented my district. I don't like the decisions you made. And they can do that. But they only get to say that every 2 years. In Sound Off, they can say, Mayor Miyagishima, I hated the way you did this thing. Or, I don't believe that minimum wage is a good thing for Las Cruces. And there are, every single day, I probably get 40 or 50 people who are calling in. 10 to 15 people emailing in, and I get a chance to put in about 15 to 16 viewpoints. I never repeat. I don't take two comments from one person. So every single Sound Off you see in there is a distinct voice, a different person in Las Cruces, talking about local, and I try to really make it more local issues. So to me, that's a forum that's, you know, 15 or 16 people who can talk about what's going on in this community every day.
Yeah, can I address 2 points there?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I'm very glad to hear that the anonymous commenting is being removed from the website. Because I think this is a discussion that it shouldn't just be about Sound Off. It should be about how we have discussions in our community about issues. And the anonymous comments, they really... There's a couple of problems. I think the negativity is a big deal. And when you look at website comments, for instance, and I brought some examples, I'm really glad you're removing those because I actually found that on you guys did a story on the Las Cruces police investigation of the bombings. And I just pulled two or three of the comments from your website where it was like, the Muslims in the Middle East are trying to wipe out Christianity and the left-wing progressives and homosexual groups are trying to do the same to this country. And further down there was, what is your IQ, 50? If you don't see the point of my discussion, I am not wasting my time on public school reject who probably will lose his job to an Indian immigrant. I mean, these are the types of discussion points that are common. I mean, very common. And I've got a couple more. There was one KRQE did with Stephanie Mayas, who was a legislator whose son was arrested for murder. I've actually brought some. I did a video response on YouTube to Donald Trump's statements about all Mexicans being rapists and murderers. And the responses there were great. Shut up, clown. Nice beard, douchebags. Mexicans are often great people in their homes and in the public have a high tolerance for mediocrity of business and government. I mean, these are the type of points that are bred by anonymity, and it happens. And the problem is people see that as a barrier. They don't want to get in a discussion where people feel like they're being bullied. Now, in terms of Sound Off, obviously it's a lot more moderated, and the discussion points are, you don't allow any of those types of comments in there. But there's two problems here. The first is the Sound Off is on a news page. It's not on the opinion section. Mm-hmm. And so the chances of it being connected to a news story are very real. Secondly, anybody can call into the Sound Off for anything they want. This isn't just people calling in and expressing their opinion. Because the Sound Off is anonymous, political operatives or people that want to make the other side look bad will call in. And my mother admitted to me after this conversation, my mother is more liberal than a lot of people, but she admits calling into Sound Off as a Republican and saying stupid things, and they're printed. So because of the anonymity in the Sound Off, it allows people to straight up lie and put people down in a way that's strategic rather than about the community. Let me just say two more things. The first is media sources across the country are making choices on how to further discussion in their communities. Right now, the Sun News is the only paper in New Mexico that has anything like the sound off. The Journal does one, something similar, but I think they only do it once or twice a month, and it's on their opinion page. All sorts of news outlets have decided to change the way they did things. The Huffington Post, the Albuquerque Journal, they require Facebook comments. The Popular Science got rid of it as a whole because they viewed that negativity as affecting the scientific process. The New York Times still allows anonymous comments on their website. They don't have anything like Sound Off, but there's a separate button that you have to push so that those comments are not connected to the story itself. And then here's a really interesting one. The LA Times, they still have anonymous comments as well on their news site, though they also have a separate button. They're not connected to the story because they realize how harmful this can be. They also, though, on their blog, changed the way that the discussion was handled to require Facebook commentary. And what they found was this. The level of discourse, the difference, was pretty stunning. The people posting through Facebook comments displayed anger, but it didn't have to be heavily moderated. On the articles where anonymous commenting was still allowed, it immediately plunged into the lowest common denominator: racism, threats, vulgarity. It was night and day. So as we talk about this commentary, and let me just add one more thing, because I think Sylvia's got a point. Media is not the way it used to be. TV, radio, newspaper used to be where a reporter would go out and do the story, and people would read it, and that was it. Now, in the era of social media, people expect to be part of the story. They want to be part of the discussion,
and that's
important.
Citizen journalism.
It is, and it's good.
Let's take a call right now at 646-2212. 646-2212. And this may be a familiar voice to both of you. Good afternoon, Mr. Smith.
Okay, well, I've got I hear you now. And I think the conversation is going very well. I'm glad to hear that. I passed Mr. McCamley riding his bike on his way over to the studio there, and I was listening to another great news story on NPR. But I'm pleased to hear this going on, and several things that I haven't heard mentioned. One is the whistleblower piece, and I think oftentimes people say, well, this is an opportunity for people to be able to exercise their right to be a whistleblower, and I think there are other opportunities to do that. I think that nobody, for the most part, we're not seeing that be a part of the Sound Off column. Another thing is that here in Las Cruces, we do a great job with our Keep Las Cruces Beautiful efforts to keep graffiti off the walls. It's not 100%, but we do. And in essence, what I think is unfortunate is we're doing a great job of getting rid of the graffiti that appears painted on walls and things, but what we see in the Sun News is essentially graffiti in print. And then my final comment, or at least for the moment, is that, I've heard several people say forced several times, and I think really what might be more appropriate is we're not forcing or not suggesting that anyone be forced, but we're suggesting that the Sun News and anyone else who wishes to use this kind of commentary actually require that. And that, of course, once again, within the realm of freedom of speech, needs to be their choice, not something imposed by any government agency, but simply, rather than referring to it as being forced, refer to it as being required.
I'm not sure exactly how to respond to that. I would say that that there's a lot of influence that Sound Off has in the community. I think one thing, sort of the opposite side of that coin about required and forced and all that, is no one's forcing anyone to read the Sound Off. No one's forcing anyone to turn the page and look at the Sound Off. But I can tell you that we get 15,000 people that listen, that get mad at me on the few occasions we've actually not had the Sound Off. I think there's a community in Pennsylvania where they had something very similar to the Sound Off, and people, they decided to pull the plug on that. And there was such an outcry to get it back because there's a certain sense that this was an important community discourse, whether you agreed it or not. I mean, what is that? It's the angry the angry marketplace of ideas where everything is not elegant, everything is not well-reasoned. But that is just as valid a voice as somebody who's going to make a persuasive argument using facts. Because the fact is, if you can make a persuasive argument using facts and you can persuade people to your point of view, that then, that is rewarded. And some of this is incoherent and not well-reasoned. Well, they're not going to they're not going to persuade anyone. Who are they going to persuade? But just because you don't agree with that viewpoint doesn't mean that that opinion is not valid.
Hold on. Let me just get this one in, Greg. What is the method that you use to make sure that every sound off is completely factually correct?
I usually will check it on PolitiFact
usually?
Or on Snopes.
I mean, are there any instances where you said if you can make an argument based on fact,
mm-hmm.
the problem with sound off is it doesn't have to be fact. And if you miss it, it can go in there and people can constantly put in a series of opinions that are not based on fact.
But and this is what I actually wrote this in my column. I do actually check it. Anytime it sounds outlandish, I will go and look, do a good old Google search and check PolitiFact, check Snopes to say, oh, is this an urban legend? So there's one. And sometimes you put it in there and you know that there's five other people who are going to call in and say, this is what this really is. And that is also part of facilitating a conversation.
I guess I would...
Is there like an evolution of editors to the Las Cruces Sun News that have approached sound off differently?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it was pretty much the Wild West for some editors. They were like, we don't care. It's just a reflection of what people think in the community. I don't approach it that way, and I think everybody approaches it slightly differently. I'm doing it for about a year and a half, I guess. And I don't have blatant lies in there, and I don't put racist comments, and I don't put, you know, full-on personal attacks. Those are not included in what I will put in there. But if somebody wants to say something mean about me or something mean about a public figure, they're public figures and they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've put themselves out there. I've put myself as somebody who makes my living off of the, you know, freedom of speech. You know, they can say anything mean they want to about me, and there's a pretty good chance it's going to get in the newspaper as long as, you know, they're not cursing and doing stuff like that, because I should be able to take it.
Let's talk about Council Member. Council Member, I've got a question. You have a concern that you have brought up on quality of life for Las Cruces, and you see that the sound off doesn't hold up to that.
Well, I think there are several concerns that I have. One is that, you know, basically there is misinformation that gets printed. There are, I don't know how else to describe it, but, you know, very cranky remarks that get printed. And that adds to a sense of this place for those who live here, those contemplating coming here, that, you know, makes it sound like there's a lot of, I mean, you know, yeah, honesty is one thing, but just this sort of atmosphere of unpleasantness, it impacts. I mean, it, you know, Bill has been able to point out how the research on the news stories gets impacted, but I think there's also a more pervasive sort of sense of this place. Well, that's a place where people complain all the time. That's a place where people aren't happy, and I think it's a different thing than just simply reporting something honestly. It adds to that atmosphere. So I think there's that piece. I think there's also the I'm not being very articulate, so I can stumble as well as somebody on sound off. But I do think that we also are encouraging people to lob their anonymous bombs, and that to me is sort of disabling to the conversation. We haven't encouraged people to put their names on things. We haven't said, you know, if you put your name on it, you can own it and be honest about it. So I guess that's part of the disabling piece that I see with encouraging the anonymous comment. So I am glad that the Sun News will be taking the anonymous comment off of the website. I think that is a positive move, and I'm glad to see that happening.
Well, thank you for calling in, Council Member Smith. And
sure.
Right now we want to take a call from Goodman on line. Goodman on line 4.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I guess I wanted to comment, and without disagreeing with any of the negatives that Bill pointed out from the studies, I think it behooves all of us who have a public platform to be very, very reticent about shutting off any kind of debate. And I think I understand the frustration with sound off. I certainly see pieces that annoy me and that I sometimes want to respond to on my website or in my column. But on balance, I think it lets people vent, lets people get off steam in a semi-healthy way. And I think most readers understand that it is what it is. It's the spontaneous comments of a wide variety of people, some of whom are knowledgeable, some of whom are not, some of whom are thoughtful, some of whom are ideologues. And I think they take it with a grain of salt.
Well, Peter, let me ask you a question. And I actually have a question for Sylvia regarding this. Do you allow for anonymous people to write in letters to the editor?
No.
Why?
Because it's a different forum.
How?
It's on the opinion page, and it's just a different forum. It's a different form. You know what you're getting when you're reading the letters to the editor, and you know what you're getting when you're reading sound off.
Wait, hold on, because that's...
Let me jump in to join Sylvia. I mean, the letter to the editor is longer, first of all. It's a different forum. That's like asking, if the mayor said he liked sound off, why doesn't he let anonymous people get up and speak to the city council?
Well, hold on a second.
It's a completely different forum.
Here's my question. One of the criticisms that we got from this all the time was the Federalist Papers. Everyone was like, the Federalist Papers, they're one of the founding documents to our country, and they are. And they were written anonymously, and that was brought up over and over and over again. And I guess for me, it's really inconsistent. You said that their opinions. Well, Soundoff's opinion as well. So why isn't it on the opinion page? I mean, that's a question. It's on a news page. It's on page 3 of your paper every day. And there you allow for these people to call in without any sort of responsibility by putting their name on it. Yet, if I were to write, let's say that I felt that I wanted to write a column, a 600-word column or something else, that expressed an opinion, but I didn't want to put my name on it because of, for whatever reason, I just don't see the difference. I just don't see that you can say it's a different form. Why is it a different form? What about that makes it have different
bigger
policy?
And more powerful, more space.
But Peter, see, that's the problem I have. And this is the exact problem I have with people, that there's this perception that sound off is harmless. There's a perception that when you read this anonymous commentary, it doesn't have an effect. And I thought that way for years. The data on anonymous commenting is clear. It is very clear. The scientists have, and there's more than one study, they've shown that it affects people's opinions of the stories. And so
quick question. Were those studies where it's sort of attached to the story, the way that you can comment on the Sun News website on my column or a story about you, or are we talking about something in a wholly different forum, the sound off, affecting news stories that happen to be on the same subject?
No, they were on the comment, because no one else really, I mean, there's only a few places in the country that do a sound off type thing. The problem, though, is because sound off is on a news page, it is not on an opinion page, it's on the news page. The connection there to news makes me think that it's very similar to these studies. And I really want to get away, and this is the thing that really got me. This perception that sound off doesn't have an effect, that everyone knows the silly people call in and they read it for their own amusement. And that's probably true for a lot of people. But the data is very clear showing that people's comments affect the story. So here's the thing. If the mayor comes out for a policy of some variety and goes and has a story, and Diana writes about it in the Sun News, and there's a story, and there's 5 comments in a row negative on that story and sound off every single day, that story is getting drowned out by people. And it might even be the same person. They might make up different email addresses. They might
have
people
going, who do that.
Right, exactly.
But we can tell what number it's coming from, and I don't publish duplicates of there. So if there's 5 different people calling in about, oh, we don't like this, that's a pretty good indication that...
I could call in from my house and then on my wife's cell phone and then from the neighbor's house and so forth.
Well, you'd be pretty determined.
And let me bring one more thing up, though. This is another problem I have. Because of that effect, people have used this for nefarious purposes. And I have a story right here. This was from 2 years ago from the Guardian newspaper in England. So they did a story on Ukraine when all that stuff first started up with the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. And there are documented cases of pro-Russian broadcasters. And this is quoting from the paper. A pro-Kremlin group runs a network of internet trolls, seeks to buy flattering coverage of Vladimir Putin, and hatches plans to discredit opposition activists and media, according to private emails that the anonymous group put out. So people recognize that this is a way to influence public policy in a way that gets around the necessity for responsibility. So if certain people wanted to call in every day and say, you know, candidate X is terrible or policy Y is bad or the schools are blah, and have like five people do that, you can have the ability to influence strategically. This isn't just, hey, I'm mad because there's a pothole in my street. This is a strategic move to influence people's view of the community around them in a way where they don't have to take responsibility. And I worry about that as well. And it's obviously being done.
Okay, Peter, thank you very much for calling in.
Have a good day.
646-2212. 646-2212. We have Wayne on line 5. Wayne. Okay. Wayne decided to take a walk. All right, here's my question. As you stated that there's articles that are written, and then there's comments that are made, and the fact that they influence some people. What happened to the personal responsibility of people being able to make a decision on their own based on the facts presented to them without somebody saying, you know what, this is making you way too unhappy. It's making you too angry, so we're going to get rid of these and only base on positive comments.
All right. I, first of all, I don't think that's what's going on here. There are a lot of psychological people out there that say that the problem, and it's called the this is for the internet. So once again, sound off is better. I'm not saying that it's not. And I would feel a lot more comfortable if it was moved to the opinion page, because I think at least at that point, these are opinions. And you're removing that connection between people's opinions and the story itself. And when you have those connected, to me, that's part of the problem. I think the other problem is there's a very well-known theory called the internet disinhibition effect. This isn't about people being happy or angry. It's about the fact that when you have something that's very easy to do and that an anonymous comment can be made, I'm automatically going to go in and say the first thing on my mind. And for a lot of people, that means vile language, it means racism, and you see it over and over and over again. So yes, there is a personal responsibility effect, but it also, we as a community, I think, have a responsibility to have forums where we encourage responsibility. And as I said before, the sound off or anonymous comments, and I'd actually like to hear at some point why, in light of all of this research, KRWG still allows anonymous commenting on your website. The Sun News is getting away from that. No other Las Cruces media organization will now do this. You'll be the only ones left to have this. And I think
as an organization, you make it a point to be responsible. And if you do get comments that are negative or that are too negative or might be racist, to delete those comments from
How many are you going to go through? Because I had this comment conversation with your predecessor back in, I think it was 2011, about sound off and about anonymous comments. And the Sun News actually decided to move away from anonymous commenting. The problem was there'd be 200 or 300 comments. This is the old topic site. Mm-hmm. 200 or 300 comments. And so who was going to go through all those? They didn't go through them. You know, if I went through and I said, you know, someone's calling me a racist or whatever, they say, oh, we'll go delete those. But there's too much. And even The Guardian pointed out they didn't have the staff to go through and moderate these comments that these pro-Russian hackers
are trying to do. The alternative is not to eliminate comments just because you don't have the staffing to do it.
That's not the alternative. The alternative is to do what a lot of other people have done. They go to Facebook. They go to a situation where the comments are removed from the story itself. There's been a lot of people that have, and a lot of media organizations that have chosen to move away from this strategy of commenting because they see the negativity really affects people, and that negativity has a public policy effect. And I don't know what the answer is, and I understand that we're living in a society where people have a need to be involved, and I think that's really good. I really do. It's better than it used to be. And I understand, too, from Sylvia's point of view, they need readership. And people read the sound off. I mean, it is what
when
it
is. When I first moved to Las Cruces 13 years ago, and I picked up the Las Cruces Sun News, and I saw the sound off, the first thing that came to mind, I'm just going to be honest, irresponsibility. How could there not be any names attached to it? You know, what's going on here? And then I looked at it and saw it from a business point of view. Mm-hmm. How many calls will this generate? As opposed to putting on happy news. Mm-hmm. And I saw that there is a need for a business type to go in the paper because, again, it goes to what we were talking about earlier as far as citizen journalism goes. Where else can people give an opinion as to what's going on in City Hall, what's going on, you know, anywhere?
They can do it on Facebook now.
But do it without repercussions.
Well, I don't really – when I arrived here and when I took on the role of the managing editor at the Sun News, I mean, it's been around for over 15 years. I mean, I didn't come up with it. I pretty much inherited it. I changed the way that it was edited because I didn't like just any random comment that, you know, was not based in at least some semblance of fact. I mean, there's definitely, we could bring up the Planned Parenthood debate and definitely in the newsroom that me and Walt Rubel, who's the opinion page editor of the paper, we talked about this and we had a really very serious conversation about how much of that do we want to allow. And I'm a strong supporter of Planned Parenthood, but some of this, these are the facts, and people can have a disagreement on what exactly the fact is. That's a more ambiguous topic. You know, how much are these videos edited? How, you know, have they been edited deceptively? But the fact remains that, you know, there were conversations on those videos. They didn't make them up. So, you know, that was a conversation that we had, and we try to have these kind of conversations within the sound off, within the opinion pages, both of those. Another funny thing is after you and Councillor Smith created wrote that op-ed, half of my calls to sound off was like, and this is Neil Smith of blah, blah, blah. And this is, because they don't care. What they want is the forum. What they want is the ability to say something on a community topic.
Let's take a call. I've got Wayne. Wayne, good afternoon.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi, we can hear you now. Just turn down your radio.
This is Wayne Huber, and glad to be part of all this.
Wayne, I need you to turn down your radio.
I should turn down the radio because I'm hearing myself twice. Right, so the radio is off now.
Okay, there you go.
Now I can actually hear myself think. So anyway, I was at a gathering with the mayor last night at City Hall, and a number of people representing various aspects of our community discussing the bomb threats and some of the other things that are going on. And I love the input. Of course, people identified themselves, shared about the incident. But my concern, what I was pleased was that the people that were there shared so much and, of course, identified who they were, why they were there, and so on. But there was a very, very small group that was represented. I was thinking when I pulled up at City Hall, it was going, the parking lots would be overflowing, and then there would be places to park maybe in the library next door. It would be so crowded. Well, there wasn't that kind of input. But the few people that were there that wanted to share shared good info, and of course we knew who was sharing why and how. And that's what I love about having a name connected with any commentary. When I first came here 15 years ago, 2000, I was shocked that Sound Off existed. It really bothered me because I'm used to papers that only have letters to the editor and they're signed and you can even track the people down, and they represent themselves and what they're saying and so on. And then the editorial comments, of course, is always identification there. And I have friends who dropped the Sun News for that very reason. They said until they get rid of sound off, I'm not going to get that paper. That aspect is trashy. So anyway, that is what I have experienced. I do get the paper because I'm part of Downtown Las Cruces Partnership. I'm on the design committee. I've been helping out with stuff that's been going on here for the 15 years I've been in this city, and I'm an artist and having a show at the Bistro. So I'm very involved, but otherwise, I would do what friends are doing and get the Albuquerque Journal. A number of my friends are, love that paper.
Okay, Wayne, said, thank you very much.
I like to read the local news and know what's going on in the city, so thought I would share that.
Okay, Wayne, thank you very much. Let's go to Tom on line 5. Tom? Tom?
Yo.
Yes, sir. Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. The editor said something interesting to me. She just noted that advocates of the sound off are willing to put their names on their comments. I'm unable to understand why the newspaper doesn't ask or doesn't require persons to provide identifying names and maybe even addresses and include them in the comments section. That hasn't been appropriately discussed, I don't think.
Well, I would think that probably the biggest thing is that you can just, me, Sylvia Ulloa, can call up the sound off line and say, and this is Cynthia Smith. I mean, there's no way for us to really verify who such a person is. I mean, it's a bit limited.
There's no way to verify the comment and no way to verify the person.
That's
so why should we have the comment at all?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I look at it and I think, you know, this person who is calling has a valid comment
or valid observation. What makes validity, however? If the name is not valid, then what makes validity?
I don't know. The fact that you are a citizen of this country and that
how do you know you're a citizen of the country? If you can't identify the name...
I mean, actually, I take that back. I would say resident, because I think pretty much any human being has a right to be heard. So, you know, do I think this is perfect? No, I don't think it's perfect, but I do think it's a conversation. You know, it keeps some people accountable. It makes the mayor...
Would you approve of a television station that allowed people to come on the... Let us say they had a program in which people could wear bed sheets, for example. Would that be a good thing? I think you'd want to see their faces, wouldn't you?
Depends on the ratings. Okay, we've got another call. We've got Carol on line 3. Carol, welcome to KRWG 646-2212. Carol.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing wonderful.
You want me to just go ahead and comment?
Yeah, well, you've got a comment.
I'm agreeing with Mr. McCamley. I think the discourse in this country has deteriorated so much that maybe in a former time when people just knew how to be more polite, even if they needed to be critical of something, that has disappeared so much that it's more harm than good. One of the things I would like to see, though, is much more of an opportunity for much shorter letters to the editor signed, because sometimes I thought, well, I'd really love to comment on that, but Sound Off didn't seem to be the appropriate place to do it because it wasn't long enough and I didn't want to be a part of that discussion. But the letters to the editor usually, or guest columns, have to be much longer. And so I wish we had some, you know, like really short, signed, you know, forums that keep people honest. And as far as, you know, if you're out there and you're a public figure, some stuff that I see, public figure or not, is just plain unnecessarily rude and basically defamation of character. And even public officials don't need to be vilified. That's really not necessary in order to have a strong democracy and form in this city. I just really think Sound Off as it is now is probably something... that just needs to disappear, but we do need more shorter articles where we can sign our names to it so more people can get a chance to express their opinions in the paper.
Well, I would want to encourage you, if you had a short one paragraph or two paragraph letter that you would want to write, we absolutely have no minimum requirement for letters to the editor. Most people generally want to write long. That's our problem. We do limit it to 300 words. One word more.
I know better.
So certainly, and there's a couple of our writers that do write like only one paragraph or two paragraphs, and we certainly welcome those and accept them.
And I'd like to say, Carol, can I say a couple things before you hang up? I mean,
first, who am I speaking with?
This is Bill McCamley.
Okay, hi, Bill. Mm-hmm.
So, I guess two things. Number one, I don't think it's. I agree with you. Just because you're a public official doesn't mean you are more out there. You are up there, and this isn't about being able to take it or not. Though I agree with you, some of the stuff that is said sometimes about, you know, when the vice president's son died of brain cancer, and there were a lot of folks out there saying, "Obama, I hope that your kids have the same thing." That was going around Twitter. I think that there is a line. And you know what? The way that one of the TV stations in Albuquerque treated a state legislator whose son was arrested for murder was completely it crossed the line. That being said, I can take it. It's not being about being able to take it. It's not – you understand that when you get into office that there's going to be criticism. And I actually – you know, I have a Facebook site where we have discussions where people disagree with me all the time. That's fine. The problem, though, is exactly what you said. If we continue on this type of discussion in our country, what does that mean? And I know personal responsibility is important, Ernesto, but at the same time, when we do have these discussions and they're more vitriolic and they're more divisive, is there a cost to that? And I think there is.
Let's take – thank you, Carol, very much for calling in.
Hey, you're very welcome.
646-2212. And we have Lucas. Okay. So my question is this. As we talk about this, you know, where do we go from here? You know, where do we carry and continue on with the conversation so that there could be some kind of resolution – and that satisfies the needs of business and readers, viewers, listeners?
Well, I mean, one thing I would say is that I think that there's this idealized world of the past where everybody thinks that everybody was civil and they weren't. There was rascals calling each other, you know, the worst names that in the public forum. You know, there's no golden age of discourse other than maybe the Stevens-Lincoln debates. And even though somebody say, well, maybe they weren't that great. So I think that there is this sense that maybe it was greater before and that this is some new phenomenon. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. People have been calling each other out for a long, long time.
Let's get to Lucas and see what Lucas has got to say. Yeah, Lucas is back. Lucas?
Yes, hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was actually just kind of curious because I heard Mr. McCamley ask the editor about putting the piece on the opinion page, and I was curious what her response was because I didn't really hear one. Is there a reason why it can't be in the opinion page since that's really what's being expressed, our series of opinions?
Well, there's actually – we've been talking about that, but after we did that, we got bought by another corporation. So we're kind of in the middle of a lot of change. This is the one reason why they're getting rid of anonymous commenting is because the new corporation that we're a part of has Facebook commenting as opposed to – and in many ways, we don't have a lot of local control. So that's one thing. And so probably in the next few months as we transition to a new website, a new design in our paper, some of that stuff we're going to try to address. And I was trying to do that before that, and then almost immediately we got bought. So part of it is just logistics.
Okay, Lucas, thank you very much for calling in. Let's go to line 5 with John. John, good afternoon. John.
Yeah, hello.
Welcome to KRWG.
Oh, great, thank you. Yeah, my name is John Bjornstad. Just to clear up that part.
Thanks, John.
I have 2 points. Yeah, hello. The one is that I think from a dialogue point of view, letting an issue be spoken anonymously, puts it out there without anyone having to identify with it, and it lets the merits of the idea sit. And we may have to suffer a lot of unpalatable conversation from people with pretty aggressive agendas at times in order to have that forum. And secondly, along the same lines, when something like patriotism is really at heightened levels, people might need a forum to have a conversation that is even hazardous to them, if they were to put their name on it. But to put ideas out there and let them be considered and not be putting themselves at risk. So from those two points of view, though I often find the comments on SoundOff unsavory, I consider it a risk worth taking or have, you know, something worth stomaching for the sake that it's there.
Well, thank you very much.
Can I respond to a couple of things?
Yes, sir.
Thanks. First of all, I do think that moving SoundOff to the opinion page would be a step forward. At least right there, you are physically disconnecting people's opinions with the news. And that's basically doing what the LA Times and the New York Times did with their online comments by putting a barrier in place between the news and what is the news and what is opinion. I mean, you don't put your editorial about who you're endorsing for president on the front page. You put it on the opinion page. And if you're going to have opinions and have that, I think that would be a step forward. And I'm very happy to see that the new corporation that's taking over is going to have Facebook. And as we see, Facebook's not perfect. I mean, people are still going to be whatever they want to be on Facebook sometimes too, but putting your name on something has shown that the anger and stuff, at least people are thinking about what they say. And let me just say one more thing. I think there's a way, I know that a lot of times newspapers have anonymous tip lines. And so there are ways for people to say, hey, look, there's a story here, call in, or send it in from an email that you just make up on Gmail or whatever. And you can do that anonymously without having it published for the world to see. That's my issue. We haven't changed. People have been nasty to each other. The problem is with all these new types of media out there, the nastiness, the way that that can be transferred to other people is bigger than it used to be.
Mm. Sylvia, any closing thoughts?
Well, as I said, I don't disagree with a lot of things that Bill has been saying. And when he came in and spoke to us, I didn't disagree with him there. I guess what I said is our job as a news, like covering this community, is to give people a voice to put out ideas. It's like like I said, the messy idea of the messy marketplace of ideas, and really, I guess I'm not being very articulate, but this is a way to get really an average person's opinion out in the marketplace, somebody who doesn't feel like they can write a 300-word letter to the editor, but who wants to have some kind of expression on something that's important to them. And that, to me, outweighs a lot of what is definitely has a lot of drawbacks.
That is Sylvia Ulloa, the managing editor at the Las Cruces Sun News, and also Bill McCamley. Thank you very much, both of you, for coming in having a conversation about this. I'd like to thank Samantha Sonner, our KRWG multimedia reporter, working the social media beat today. Anthony Moreno, KRWG news director and morning edition host, working the phone lines. Jake Lockwood, station engineer and board op, thank you very much for making all of this possible. And Fred Martino, KRWG director of content.